All right, well, we have a second message for you here today, kind of a Sunday night message. And we're going to start in Jeremiah chapter number 20 and spend some time here tonight. I know Brother Bauman's been putting the verses on the bottom of the screen, so if you follow along with that, that's fine. But if you have your Bible and you'd like to go there, Jeremiah chapter number 20, I'm not going to preach to you very long. I was looking through the website to listen to some messages, some old messages I hadn't heard on our church website, and I saw my name there, so I clicked on it, and I always thought I was a short preacher, and I saw it was 45 minutes long. And I thought, oh, that's a fluke, that's a long one. So I scrolled down until I saw my name again, I clicked on that one, and that one was about 40 minutes long. And so I promise you this one won't be, unless Brother Bauman just extends the end with black screen just to make it that long. But I'm not going to preach to you that long tonight, but God put a thought on my heart during the week, and it's Pastor Russo and I were talking, last night and a bit this morning before we record these messages about what he was going to preach on. And it's very similar in idea. And I think God has this message for the church this week. He preached this morning about a bitterness that can come into our heart. And God put some verses on my heart here in Jeremiah, more about a discouragement that can come into our mind if we're not careful. Very similar theme here, so I hope it's a blessing to you. We're going to start reading in verse number 9 of Jeremiah chapter 20. A famous verse that says, "Then I said," Jeremiah of course is preaching here, "I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." And here in Jeremiah we see the power that God's word had in his heart. Although he made a decision, I no longer want to be a prophet. I no longer want to preach the message that God is giving me. He couldn't help but get it out because he had a message from God that he needed to share. And that's an encouragement to us to think of, man, what is the message that God has given us to share? At the very least, we have that message of salvation, that Christ died on the cross to forgive sins. And that the whole world needs to hear that gospel. And that's a message that no one should be able to stop us from sharing, and we shouldn't want to not share it. But, I mean, we have our personal testimonies, what God has done in our life. That's something that we can share with other people. We have what we learn from Scripture, from hearing messages, from our Bible reading, things that we're supposed to pass on to others, our disciples, our children, the ones that we're supposed to be teaching. So we have a message that we're supposed to share, just like Jeremiah, who God called even before he formed him, he said. He was called to be a prophet. God had this message for him, and you can see where, about halfway through the book here, and Jeremiah decides, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to share God's word anymore. And I like the blessing side of it at the end, how he decided against that, and he couldn't, and he had to share it, and that power that God's word has, the message that we have to share. But as I was reading it, I was thinking, what brought Jeremiah to this point? That halfway through his ministry, he would decide, I don't want to do this anymore. What brought Jeremiah to a point in his life where he wanted to quit on God and say, I can't do this anymore? And as I read through this chapter and the chapters that came before it and a little bit of the chapters that came after, you see the struggle that's going on in Jeremiah's ministry. Now, he was called to preach to the children of Judah, the southern part of Israel, right before the time of judgment. If you were in our Bible class that we were doing here, going through the books of the Bible quickly, we get here, and right before Israel is already judged and in bondage, and Judah is about to be, then God sends Jeremiah as kind of the final prophet before the judgment happens. And his message, most of his message, isn't about the glory of God, the blessings that are going to come. He has a hard message for the children of Israel. We see part of it if we go back into chapter number 19. We can just look at the last verse in chapter number 19, verse number 15. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words. Jeremiah's message here, the message that he got from God, was a message of judgment. That God's judgment is coming. The time to repent, I mean, you can repent, but God's going to judge. For all the years that had come before, now is the time of judgment. I don't want people to misunderstand. I don't think right now that this virus is, you know, God's judgment on us and he's trying to punish us. I think when God finally decides he's going to judge America, you won't have to ask. Is this it? Because you'll know. It is it. Now, throughout our lives, we suffer consequences of sin and things like that. But I'm not focusing here on the judgment that's on Israel, but the ministry of Jeremiah. As he preached this message of judgment, that God was going to finally, after years of mercy, years of patience with them, years of giving them chance after chance, king after king, it was time. He had had enough, and he was going to judge his people. That's not a popular message. Can you imagine being that message? As we talked, the message that we have is one of grace, of one of salvation, that we have a chance to preach God's mercy to people, and that God wants to save and God wants to forgive. Jeremiah's message was, God's going to judge. These cities are going to be destroyed. These people are going to be destroyed. Babylon is coming and is going to judge your towns and your people. The time is up. And he had this outward struggle where everyone who heard these messages, you can imagine he wasn't very famous. I don't think he was getting invitations from other towns. Hey, Jeremiah, would you come over and prophesy to us? No one liked hearing his message. Jeremiah is put in prison throughout his ministry. Jeremiah is mocked throughout his ministry. We see here in the start of the next chapter, we're introduced to a man, Pashur. Chapter number 20, verse number 1 says, "Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things." So he hears this message that Jeremiah brings, the chief of the house of the Lord. And look what he does in verse number 2. It says, "Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet." I'm glad that's never happened after my message. I can imagine maybe one Sunday I'm getting down from preaching and Brother Sutliff, he always sits up here, just walks up and just with his big old hands, whoosh, right across the face. That was a bad message. Or maybe, and then what happens after that? Smote. You know, it could have been a smack, it could have been a beating or whipping. But after that, he puts him in stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And he's put in the stocks overnight, where he's, you know, mocked and ridiculed. And then it says later on in the chapter, as we see, verse number 10, the Bible says, 20, verse number 10, Jeremiah is speaking, "For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side." Every place he goes, he doesn't hear, "Good job, preacher." He doesn't hear, "What a blessing that was." He doesn't even hear, it was okay. People are mocking him. People are defaming him. People are beating him. He's put in prison. He's put in the stocks. But through it all, it seems that he can keep on going, that he has a strength that keeps him going. And it says, we'll go back to verse number 3. After he smote by Pashur the high priest and put in the stocks, it says, "It came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him." This is Jeremiah's rebuttal. "The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor Misabib." So anyone's looking for a baby name, maybe the Faulkners are watching this, there you go. Magor Misabib, I think is how you say it. And that means a fear on every side, terror around it. We see that in the next verse. "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and their eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon and slay them with the sword." Jeremiah's message had not changed. He continues, "Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hands of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity. And thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies." Look at that response of Jeremiah. I was thinking, man, after being preaching, then he's beaten, he's put in the stocks overnight, And yet he comes out and he seems so strong. He seems like he's not going to compromise. He's ready to go. He's ready for another battle. He stands up to the man who had just put him in the stocks overnight. And he doesn't just give the same prophecy, but it's even more specific. It's not just the city's going to be destroyed, but he says to that man, you are going to be taken. You are going to be a terror. You're going to be in the center of this judgment. You're going to be carried away captive, all your family, and you're going to die in the captivity. So, woo, that is a strong man. I was thinking, man, that kind of passion for the message of God, that kind of boldness to preach the word even though it wasn't popular. But we see that inside, Jeremiah didn't seem quite as strong. On the outside, he's offered this, you know, the stinging rebuttal to the man. He's prophesying again and again faithfully this message. But inside, he has a different battle. And that's when we get into verse number 7, leading up to that verse 9 that we started the message with. It's kind of a new section, and he says, Jeremiah is praying to the Lord, and he says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me, for since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence, and spoil, that's that prophecy of judgment. But the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. So even though he seemed early in this chapter to suffer well, to come out strong, come out swinging, we see when he gets alone and he talks with God that his internal struggle, he's losing. Look at these words. Verse number 7 says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. That's something strong to say to God. And imagine how he must feel, how his soul must feel, how his mind must feel that he would say that to God. God, you deceived me. He says, I'm a derision daily. Ever since I started prophesying your word, Lord, my life has been a wreck. And that's when he decides in verse number 9 that I'm not going to speak anymore. But I thought, how do you get to that point? That, man, what a statement he's making there, that God, you're not doing your part here. You're deceiving me about what my ministry would be. You told me I'm going to be a prophet. You told me to preach these words, and yet my ministry is a wreck, as we would see it. No one's coming to him and thanking him for his prophecy. No one's saying, thank you, you're bringing the word of the Lord, Jeremiah. It's such a blessing. No one's repenting of their sin. No one even wants to hear his message, isn't in fear. There's other people, and Pasher was one of them, who's prophesying blessing. Now, God's going to deliver us from Babylon. There's politically, they're trying to make allegiances with Egypt to fight against Babylon. People are prophesying hope, and he's the one saying, no, God's going to judge. And I think in his heart, he felt like his ministry was a failure and that God maybe made a mistake. So I'm doing my part, God. I'm out there preaching. I'm out there giving your message, but yet no one wants to hear. I'm sharing what you told me and all my neighbors do nothing but mock me. I'm faithful. I suffered in prison. I suffered in the stocks. I get out and I keep going forward and yet I just go right back to the stocks. God, what are you doing? And I don't know if you've ever gotten to the part of your life where in your heart, maybe the thoughts of your mind led you to where Jeremiah was here. Where you, maybe in prayer, you called out to God and said, God, I don't know if you're keeping your end of the bargain here. I'm trying to be faithful. And yet it seems like nothing works in the end. I'm praying, and it doesn't seem like you're answering very many prayers. I'm witnessing, I'm telling other people about you, and I don't see anyone getting saved. You know, God, you tell me that I need to be joyful in tribulation, but you're not suffering tribulation like I am. Say, God, you tell me to have peace, but I don't see where you would need peace, God, because you're all powerful. You tell me, God, to be patient. But you can do anything at any time. And as I say these things, and as I was thinking about them, you know, they are strong words, almost a heresy against God. But our mind can take us to places like that, as Jeremiah was saying, God, you deceived me. You're stronger than me. You're winning here. I'm the one suffering. Your will's going to get done, but what about me? I know your judgment's going to come, but why do I have to be the one in prison? Why do I have to be the one with no friends? Why do I have to be the one who's mocked every day? And then he decides, I'm done. Now, in our lives, we know that God is just. We know that God is all-powerful. We know that God is good. But when we get in the middle of suffering, and if you watch Pastor Russo's message earlier, maybe that place of bitterness, where things don't seem like they're working out, and it compounds. And it's been, last week was rough. And man, last month was rough. Now that I think about it, this whole last year, things aren't just working out very well. And you let your mind start thinking on those things, and you're dwelling on them, and they're sitting in there. And outwardly, maybe like Jeremiah, you could say, no, I'm strong. No, I'm going to keep going. No, the work of God must go forward. God is good. But in your heart and in your mind, you might be thinking thoughts like this. God, you're just not doing what you said you would do. Now, before we go any further, I just want to remind, the Scripture teaches us in Lamentations that it's of the Lord's mercies that we are consumed not. At any time, God, we look at any part of our lives and one sin is worthy in God's eyes of judgment. So any time we get after that, it's His mercies. We're not promised an easy life in Scripture. We make a mistake in our lives when we think because I'm not blessed if my life isn't easy. You might think I'm not in the middle of God's will if things are hard. But God never promised. In fact, we see throughout Scripture and throughout the stories of the Bible that many times when people were in the center of God's will is when their life could be the most challenging. So to think that, man, things aren't going my way, therefore God is doing, that's a dangerous place to be. You want to make sure that your thoughts don't take you there. Because and we know many scriptures, and we don't have time to go through them all today, or this will be longer than a 45-minute message, about the blessings of God and His mercies. And even Jeremiah gets to that point later on in the chapter where he says, after he says those verses in verse 10, where he says, the fear is on every side, the defaming, he says in verse number 11, but the Lord is with me as a mighty terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble. He knows God's going to get the victory in the end. The people that are against Him aren't going to succeed, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall not be forgotten. And He says in verse 12 and 13, but O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins of the heart, let me see Thy vengeance on them, for unto Thee have I opened my cause. Even his prayer here, he's acknowledging God. He's acknowledging God's power, but you can see kind of a bitterness, a hatred towards the people he's ministering to. That he wants to see God's power, not because he wants to praise Him for it, but because he wants to see these people who've been mocking Him destroyed. Verse number 13, sing unto the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, for He hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. He hasn't seen this judgment yet. He doesn't feel like he's vindicated in all his suffering, but he has confidence in God that, God, you will deliver. You promised in Scripture that you will. And in the middle of these times of doubt and these thoughts that can get in our heads, we forget about the promises of God, that God will keep His promises. And it's so easy to forget about the blessings and just focus on these points of trial, these points of misery, and think that that's all life has been. And you forget about all the times of blessing. And someone could come up to you and say, hey, remember when this? And in your mind, at that moment, when you're down, that won't seem like much of a big deal. We're going to talk just a few minutes. I'm almost done here. The introduction was very long. About controlling your mind. about these thoughts of discouragement that lead to such a dark place as Jeremiah was in here in the chapter, and how to get victory over these thoughts in your life. The first thing is to reject. Reject your mind. What does that mean? Every thought you have is not a good thought. Every thought you have isn't worthy to keep thinking. Every thought you have isn't worth sharing. We know this. I'm trying to teach my children. They'll think, did you need to say that? Just because you thought it, does that mean it needed to be said? No. Well, it doesn't change through our life. I have thoughts that, man, why did I think that? That has no part in my mind. And what do we have to do? Push it out. Don't let it stay in there. Don't let it dwell. Don't let it grow. As Pastor Russo said, that root of bitterness, it starts small until it grows and it grows and it grows. Same with these thoughts. These thoughts of discouragement. He has justification for these thoughts. He has a reason why he no longer wants to keep in the ministry. But these thoughts are dangerous. And they need to be pushed out of your life, or it'll lead to discouragement. It'll lead to destruction. Now, I'm not saying that the problems are all going to be gone. The problems will still be there. When he went forward, no one wanted to hear the message. And he does continue his ministry after this. He gets out of kind of the slump and he keeps going for the Lord. His life didn't really change, but he was able to keep going forward. God doesn't promise, as I said earlier, that he's going to take all the trials out. And that's the only time we'll know that we're blessed and God loves us. It's in the middle of the deepest suffering when we need God the most. And I look back at my own life and I think of times where I was discouraged, or it seemed like I'm trying to serve God and the pieces just aren't coming together and everything's falling apart. And that's the time when God does speak to you. It's like the sweetest time you've ever had with God. Times of blessing, you don't need that necessarily that closeness of God, because you're already happy, you're already celebrating, you're already praising Him. It's in these dark times. And if we look back at the book of Psalms, you see the same thing happening in David's Psalms. Where 1 minute and halfway through the Psalm, he's praising God. Then he's saying, God, you've forsaken me, my enemies are all around me. Then by the end of the Psalm, he's back to praising God. That's those thoughts that come into our mind of discouragement. And it's not because your life is going to be perfect, but you have to control what goes into your mind. Reject those thoughts that have no place. Your mind is part of a sinful flesh. It's going to think about things. It's going to imagine things. It's going to dream about things that you would never want anyone else in the whole world to know. Get those thoughts. As soon as they pop in your mind, reject them. That has no part in my heart, in my mind. It has no value. It has no purpose. It's not going to help me. It's not going to help anyone around me. Get it out. 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 5 tells us, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. That sounds exactly what Jeremiah was going through here. These thoughts he had were having him challenge God. Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. That can be our own mind. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is a battle up here. And you decide what you're going to think about. Thoughts pop up, but you decide, am I going to keep thinking about this? Am I going to extrapolate this, or am I going to cast it out? Reject thoughts that have no part in your mind. Secondly, guard your mind. Guard your mind. Back in Jeremiah 20, verse number 10, he says, "For I have heard the defaming of many, fear on every side, report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watch for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him." All around Jeremiah was negative feedback. No matter where he went, people were defaming him, people were waiting. They were enticed, hoping that he's going to fail. Just waiting for the day he was going to trip up, waiting for the day he was going to give up. And they could cast all his prophecies to the side. You know what we need? We hear a lot of things that come in. Using this the virus that's going on for an example, guard your mind. If it leads you to discouragement, if it leads you to stress, if it leads you to be overwhelmed, maybe that's a good time to turn off the news. My wife and I were just talking We lived in Mexico for 7 years. During that time, and still today, Mexico is a dangerous place. And, I mean, we had seen some things in our own life. I saw people getting drive-by happen right in front of the church van. Guy goes by and they shoot up the car. There were bodies found in our neighborhood where we lived, out in the streets. There is all kind of horrible things going on. So what did we do? Oh, we read every story. We looked at the news every day. No, we did not. We took those thoughts we knew wouldn't help, and those not going to come in. We're going to guard ourselves from those because we know we're in where God wants us to be, and focusing on that news, every story that happens, every event that happens, will only lead us to discouragement. It'll lead us to doubt God. It'll lead us to doubt His calling in our lives. Guard your mind. You control the door. Shut the door. If you know what brings you down, don't let it in. Turn off the news. Maybe tell a friend, hey, this conversation needs to change. Well, let's talk about something different. Because the way this thing is going is leading to gossip. It's leading me to criticize. It's leading me to discouragement. Maybe today's the day you don't have to scroll down. Facebook is an interesting thing. Because at 1 minute, it's all happy babies and puppies. And then you get to a guy who's the government's building concentration camps for us right now, and we're all going to die. And then there's another puppy, and then there's the plague is here. It's going to be worse than the Black Plague in medieval times. We're all going to die. And some people can handle that. It's not a big deal. They laugh at the ones that are, you know, they love the cute babies, and then they see the crazy stuff, and they say, oh, that's just crazy, and they keep going. If you're a person who can't do that, and you see those stories, and they start eating at you, and you're laying in bed, and you're thinking about it, maybe you're a person who does, I just can't be around it right now. Guard your mind. Guard your mind. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 8 tells us, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, to do what? Think on these things. Put those thoughts in your mind. Guard against the ones that tear you down. And lastly, renew your mind. Renew your mind. Sometimes you just got to restart. Wherever you're at in your life, you know, you feel yourself going down into a point. Maybe as Jeremiah was in here today, it's time to just, whoa, stop everything. It's time to restart. And we see a little bit of that change start in him in verse number 13, where he wants to praise the Lord and sing unto him. You see, he's not all the way there, but he's starting to withdraw from talking about everyone else, and let's put the attention back on God. Restart. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2 tells us, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As Christ teaches us the great commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your, his strength. What's one of the things in there? With all your mind. All of your mind should be loving God. Could Jeremiah say that in this chapter right here? Can you say that right now? Where is your mind? You say, it's not in a good spot. Or maybe now I'm good, but man, yesterday was... Reject thoughts that don't belong there. Guard against ways where things are coming in that you know are hurtful. And then restart, renew your mind. The older computers, they're getting better today. Of course, if you have an Apple, everything's perfect. You never have problems. The perfect computer. But for the rest of us peons, poor people who live out in the slums, you have the faithful Windows, right? And there, I remember, it's not as bad today, but man, especially in high school and even through college, you would have to restart the computers all the time. It froze, you get the error, the screen turns blue. Hit the restart. Find something in your life that helps you restart. Put it to use. Restart. Maybe you're in that spot and you feel like, oh man, I'm starting to think negatively. Stop. Maybe list off 5 blessings. Maybe you start thinking about destruction and death. Whoa. I'm going to try to help somebody today. Think about something you can do to be a blessing to someone else. Do something constructive. Take a deep breath. Sometimes the simplest things can be a big help. Quote a scripture verse. Splash some cold water on your face. Sing a song to praise God. Sing a hymn. Go for a walk. Do something to restart your mind, to break it. Cry out to God. Say, God, I'm starting to go on the bad way. Guide my thoughts back to things, as we said in Philippians. That which is good, in Romans it says, acceptable and perfect will of God. That happens when we have a renewed mind. This is going to be a battle. It goes back and forth. It's not, oh, I got my mind set, I'm good. Tomorrow might be another day. Later today, your guard's not up and something gets in that starts to lead you down the path you know that'll take you to discouragement. 2 Corinthians 4:8, and this is the last thing we read here today. It says, we are troubled on every side. There is trouble. Jeremiah didn't get out of the trouble. The trouble's going to be there. But he says, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. I don't have all the answers, do you? My kids are asking me things. My wife's asking me things. I read scripture and I don't know what to say. I don't even know how to explain everything in here. I get perplexed. But what does it say? But not in despair. Persecuted. There is persecution. Remember, the sign of God's blessing or care for us isn't if our life is perfect or not. There will be persecution. But then what does it say? But not forsaken. God has not forsaken us. And you have loved ones around you. You have loved ones in this church that haven't forsaken you. Cast down, but not destroyed. See that back and forth. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be thoughts that come up. There's going to be tribulation that's going to take your mind to where Jeremiah said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Reject those thoughts. Put up a guard. Renew your mind. And start again. Lord, I thank you for your blessings in my life, and I thank you for your mercies. Lord, I know I don't deserve them. I know I haven't earned them. I know, Lord, that if you were to destroy me right now, it would be justice. But Lord, I do thank you for the grace that you've shown us. Lord, I pray now that as we, you know, we're kind of in a tumultuous time out in the world, people aren't sure what's happening. Some people are losing their jobs. Some people are ill, losing their health. And Lord, it's just a big time of doubt. And on top of that, we put all the other burdens we normally have with families and stress from houses and jobs and school. And Lord, I pray that we would look to you, that the devil would not gain a victory in our mind, that our flesh wouldn't gain a victory in our mind, but that we would come to you, be honest with you, share those thoughts, and would reject them. To not give room to not give place to the devil and those wicked thoughts that come with it. But Lord, to think of our blessings. Think about how great the God we serve is. To think about your word, to think about the blessings and the promises that you fulfilled in the past and that hope that we have in the future, and continue faithful in your work. Lord, help us to be strong, to endure the persecution, to endure the suffering, and Lord, to come out victorious on the other side. It's in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. Well, that's right. I hope that was a blessing to you. It was a blessing to me when I was studying it. And I look forward to the day we get to get together back here in the room. And it's not just myself or Brother Bauman. Oh, and we got a couple of Hubers. Amen. But Lord bless you this week. Amen. Thank you.